First scripture reading for this morning will come from Matthew's Gospel. We'll be reading from the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 34 through 40, and that is found on page 857 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Our second scripture reading will come from 2 Corinthians. We'll be reading chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, verses 6 through 15. And that is found on page 1008 and 9 of your Pew Bibles. This time, let us again listen to God's word for us. The point is this: he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. As it is written, "He scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your resources and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You shall be enriched in every way for great generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the rendering of this service not only supplies the wants of the saints, but also overflows in many thanksgivings to God. Under the test of disobedience and acknowledgement, in acknowledging the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. The word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Story is told about two men marooned on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. One man informs the other that he's going to search the island for food. And he does so, and he comes back several hours later, and he says, "We're in deep trouble. I've searched the island all over, and there's no food anywhere on this island." Second man leans back and says, "I'm not worried about it. I make $100,000 a week." Second man scratched his head in deep perplexity and then says, "Well, I'm going to go search for some fresh water. If we're going to survive, we're going to need some fresh water." So he leaves in search of water, and he comes back again several hours later, and he says, "You know, we're in even deeper trouble than I thought. There's no fresh water any place on this island." Again, the second man leans back and says, "I'm not worried about it. I make $100,000 a week." Suddenly, the first man explodes in anger. "That's the second time you've said that," he said. "What good is your money here when we are lost?" "I know," said the second man. "That's what I mean. I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe regularly. I'm not worried because I know my pastor's going to find me. Of course, we are we're in the business of seeking the lost, no matter how much you you make a week. So if you're ever lost, know that I'm going to come looking for you, regardless of how much money you make a week. But as you've already heard, today is Stewardship Sunday. And this morning, we want to talk a little bit about giving. I realize that there are some people who believe that we in the church talk a little too much about giving. And maybe that's true. Some people talk a great deal about giving and perhaps talk about it irresponsibly. But the reality is that giving is very important in the life of the church. Not just the giving of our money and resources, but the giving of our whole selves, our whole lives, to include our time and our talents and all the things that God has given us. The church is not just a place where we come to get, but the church is also a place where we come to give. Without the regular and consistent giving of God's people, the church simply would not be able to fulfill its mission. So giving is very, very important. God wants us to give. And God not only wants us to give, but God wants us to give with the right kind of spirit. God wants us to give with a cheerful spirit. In fact, we are reminded in our reading this morning from 2 Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver. That's what God loves, a cheerful giver. And we love that too here at Albany Presbyterian Church. That doesn't mean, of course, that if you're grouchy and grumpy that we're going to turn down your gifts. So please don't let that be a reason not to give. But God loves a cheerful giver, in part because a cheerful giver understands that giving is one of the ways that we bear witness to a loving and gracious God. That was the lesson that Paul was trying to teach the church at Corinth in our text this morning. We know from various places in the New Testament that part of Paul's mission was to collect an offering from his Gentile churches. The offering was to be taken back to the poor, struggling mother church in Jerusalem. The church at Corinth, of course, was one of Paul's more difficult churches. Paul had more trouble with the church at Corinth than he had with any of his other churches. And so the Corinthian church was one that was relatively wealthy. They had means. They were a church that was somewhat a wealthy compared to some of the neighboring churches around them. And initially, they enthusiastically pledged to contribute to the offering for the church at Jerusalem. At one point, they even asked Paul for instructions as to how they ought to proceed in collecting and preparing for that offering. But for some reason, as time went on, the Corinthians became less and less enthusiastic about keeping that pledge. Many of us perhaps can understand that. We all start out sometimes with a desire to give, but then things happen. Maybe we didn't get the raise that we thought we was going to get. Or maybe the car is breaking down and we need to get a new car, and so we're not able to give. Or maybe, you know, we're waiting to win the lottery and we haven't hit the big game yet, so we're not able to give. There's all kinds of reasons not to give. If you want a good reason not to give, there are plenty of them around. And I'm sure that the Corinthian church had their reasons for waning and their enthusiasm for collecting the offering that Paul had initially contacted them about collecting. And so Paul writes them to remind them of the importance of giving, not just for the saints back in Jerusalem, but the importance of giving for their own sakes, for the sake of their spiritual development. And so Paul writes them wanting to make sure that they understand the importance of giving. Now, I've I'm a bit of an old timer, and I've been around and have seen and heard a lot of stewardship campaigns and a lot of stewardship sermons. And there are all kinds of devices that are used during stewardship season to get people to give. One is that we try to shame people into giving. Isn't it a shame, we say, that so much of the work of the church is carried on the backs of so few people? Isn't it a shame that so many of us only give a small fraction of our income to the work of the church? Isn't it a shame that many of us are not regular tithers? Isn't it a shame that the church is such a low priority on many of our lists? Isn't it a shame that more people don't step up to do the work of the church? Isn't it a shame that we can't find a good people to want to be available to teach Sunday school or to help out with the children or to be there in the after school program? Shame sometimes works, and Paul uses shame against the Corinthian church in our text this morning, but Paul knows that shame does not produce a cheerful giver, and God loves a cheerful giver. Another device that I hear during stewardship season is the employment of fear. People are usually reminded that God has given talents and resources and abilities for the edification and building up of the church. And they are told that if they don't use what God has given them, that God will take those things away. God will take away their talents and take away their time and take away the resources that God has given them. And so fear is often employed to get people to give. And fear sometimes works, but appealing to fear does not produce a cheerful giver. And God loves a cheerful giver. Some people are shameless and fearless, and so other techniques are used. And one of the techniques that are often employed, that is often employed, is the technique of appealing to people's greed. People are told that if they give, God will open the floodgates of heaven and give them many times what they initially invested into the work of the kingdom. In other words, they're encouraged to give in order that they might receive even more. Now, I should say that there's something right about that. When we give, God does open up the floodgates. When we give, God does promise to increase our harvest, not for our own sakes, not for our own wants, but God increases our harvest so that we might be able to give even more. So there is something right about that. Whenever we give, God blesses us even more so that we can continue to give, so that we can continue to do the work of the kingdom. If we are faithful in the few things, God will definitely give us more so that we can be faithful in even more things. So there is something right about that. But appeals to greed do not make a cheerful giver. And God wants and loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giving is a matter of the heart. Cheerful giving is giving where we worship and praise God. Cheerful giving is not something that we should do reluctantly or compulsively, but it stems from the deep joy and thanksgiving that is lodged in our heart, the joy and thanksgiving that recognizes that we have all been immeasurably blessed by a gracious and merciful God. All giving, of course, begins with God. God is the supreme giver. Indeed, you and I this morning are here because of the graciousness of God, and I'm sure we could all tell each other stories about how God has blessed us, how God has been gracious to us, the many ways in which God has bestowed God's favor upon us. Everything that you have comes from God. God gave it to you. The breath that you have, the breath that sustains you, God gave it to you. It belongs to God, but God gave it to you. The time that you have is not your own time, but it was time that God gave to you. God gave it to you. The talents and the aptitudes that you have honed and developed, something that God gave to you. You didn't give them to yourself, but God gave them to you. The health that you enjoy, the vigor that you have, it all came from God. God gave it to you. And of course, the money and the resources that allows you to sustain your life and the life of your family is not something that comes from your employer. It's not something that you've given yourself. Again, it's something that God gave to you. Everything that we have comes to us as pure gift from God. God gave it to us. The cheerful giver understands that the whole world belongs to God. But God is not a stingy God. God has given to all of us. God has bestowed God's blessings upon all of us. The cheerful giver is the giver that recognizes that our giving is one of the ways that we respond to the graciousness of God. We give not in order to curry favor with God, but we give because God has already shown favor to us. Jesus said, freely you have received, so go out and freely give. You've already received. I've already blessed you. I've already given to you. So now you're free to go out and give to other people. You don't have to be stingy, but you're free to give back to God. Freely you have received. We give because God has already shown favor to us. The cheerful giver is the giver that says, yes, God. Yes, God, I know I'm busy. I know I've got a full schedule, but I realize that the time that I have is the time that you've given me. And so I'm going to give a little bit of that time back. I'm going to give a little bit of it back for the sake of the kingdom. I'm going to make time for the kingdom because the time that I have does not belong to me, but it's the time that you have given to me. The cheerful giver says, yes, God, I realize that I have talents, talents that you've given me, talents that I haven't given myself, but they're talents that you've allowed me to have. And so I'm going to give a little bit of those talents back for the sake of the kingdom. They're not my talents. They're not talents to be used for me alone, but they're talents that you've given me for the edification and the upbuilding of the kingdom. And so I'm going to give a little bit of it back to you for the building up of the kingdom. The faithful giver says, yes, Lord, I'm thankful. You've given me and allowed me to be able to make money. You've allowed me to be able to take care of my family and to sustain my life. But the money that you've given me, the livelihood that you've given me, the resources that you've given me do not belong to me exclusively. You've given to me out of the graciousness of your heart. And now I'm going to give a little bit back to you. I'm going to give a little bit of my money back to you for the building up of your kingdom. That's what the cheerful giver understands. You see, when we give back to God, we acknowledge the fact that we have been blessed. We've been blessed by God. Sometimes that escapes us. It's very easy for us to believe that sometimes we've been shortchanged. Very easy for us to believe, you know, that we don't get all that we deserve. God, I've worked hard. I've been working all my life. I've worked very hard for what I get, and what I get is mine, and I don't want to give any. I'm going to hang on to it. Sometimes we can forget that everything that we have belongs to God, and it comes to us as a gift from God. Now, some of you might be saying to yourself, well, Pastor, you know I'd like to give. I'd like to give more than what I have. What I've been giving, but you know, I just can't find it in the budget to be able to give. I don't make a whole lot of money. There's not a whole lot that I can give. I don't make as much as some other people make. I'm falling on bad times. I don't make as much money as I used to make. So I'd like to give, but I just can't give what I would like to give now. But I would encourage you to give. We all should be able to give back something of what God has given us. Now, one of the churches that Paul mentions in the Corinthians is the church down the road from the Corinthian church. It's the Macedonian church. And the Macedonian church community was a very impoverished community. You know, they didn't have a whole lot. And in fact, Paul wasn't even going to ask them to contribute to the offering as he was going around collecting that offering. He wasn't going to even ask them to give because he realized that they were impoverished. But the Macedonian church wanted to give. They heard about the collection, and even though they were impoverished, even though they didn't have a whole lot to give, they wanted to give because they realized that they had something to contribute to the kingdom. And so they wanted to give. They zealously gave. And Paul reminds the Corinthian church, who had far more than their neighboring church, that the Macedonian church gave significantly out of their poverty to the work of the kingdom, to the work of his ministry. And all of us can give. I would encourage all of us to be like that Macedonian church and to give. Because it's in our giving that we become more and more like God. We give, of course, to do the work of the kingdom. We give because there are always people in need. We give because there are God's people who need for us to give. We give for the building up of the community. But we also give because it shapes and forms us into the kind of people that God has called us to be. It shapes us and forms us into the people of God, people who give because giving is the very nature of God. So all of us, no matter our economic or financial status, should give something. We should give to the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. The cheerful giver is a person who puts his faith and trust in God. Cheerful giver knows that God is going to take care of him. God is a merciful and a bountiful God. God is an abundant God. The whole world belongs to God. And the cheerful giver puts his faith and trust in God because he knows that God is going to supply his needs. He knows that God is going to take care of him. At the end of the day, his faith and trust is in God. He knows that he doesn't have to be anxious. The cheerful giver knows that he doesn't have to be anxious about tomorrow. He can live one day at a time. He doesn't have to be anxious about what he's going to wear. He doesn't have to be anxious about what he's going to eat. He has to only consider the lilies of the valley and the birds in the air and see how God takes care of them. The cheerful giver knows that God is a merciful and bountiful God who can supply all of our needs. So he doesn't have to be anxious. The cheerful giver doesn't have to be anxious. And if you don't have to be anxious, you're free not only to give, but you're free to give in abundance. You don't have to be stingy with God. You're free to give in abundance because you know that God eventually is going to make things turn out all right for you. God tells us that if we give, God will increase our harvest so that we can give even more. I realize that we live in a society, a consumer society, that wants to convince us that there's never enough. We live in a society that tries to increase the level of our anxiety. Don't give because there's not enough. Don't give because you deserve more. Don't give because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And so we, instead of giving, we try to feel that anxiety by holding on to what we got and trying to get more. But we are reminded to put our trust and faith in God, that we can give knowing that God will take care of us. This isn't what I'm saying. This is what the Apostle Paul says. This isn't what I'm saying. This is what God says, that if we are faithful in our giving, God will make sure that our needs are taken care of. Maybe not our wants. Maybe not the things that we want, because we live in a society that encourages our wants and there's no limit to what we want. But we can be sure that God will provide for our needs if we are faithful in our giving. The cheerful giver understands that, because he knows that in the giving, we bear witness to the abundance of God. We bear witness to a God who blesses. We bear witness to a God whose store is overflowing. A God who can make anything possible. When we give, we put our faith and trust in that God, knowing that God is capable of supplying our every need. The last thing I want to say this morning is that a cheerful giver understands that giving is an expression of our love. You know, we direct our resources towards the things that we love and care about. Show me your checkbook and I can tell you what your priorities are. I can tell you what you love. I can tell you the things that you care about, because we direct our resources and spend our money and give our time to the things that we really care about. Some of us care about, you know, baseball games and football games. And some of us care about clothes. And some of us care about cars. And we care about all kinds of things and our spending priorities and what we do with our time and what we do with our talents all reflect that. But the cheerful giver understands that when we give, we express the love that we have for God and the love that we have for those that God has called us to serve. This church has sustained itself throughout the generations because of the love that people have, the love that people have had for God, and the love that people have had for this community. And they express that love in their regular giving of time and talent and treasure. This church would not be here if it wasn't for the sacrifices of people in past generations. This church would not be the light of the community if it hadn't been for the sacrificial giving of generations in the past. People that gave of their money, people that volunteered for Sunday school, people that worked with the Boy Scouts, people that reached out to young people in this community. It was all made possible by people who gave of themselves, because they love God and they love those who God calls us to serve. This church is here because of that commitment. And this church is still here because of that same commitment on the part of many of you. Many of you give faithfully to the ministry of this church in so many ways. You give your money and you give your talent and you give your time. You teach the Sunday school and you volunteer for our after school programs, and you are available when we need you, when we're reaching out into the community, and you work with children, and you listen to the people who are desperate, who come in through these doors, and you provide resources to give to people who come in here who have needs, and we're able to take care of the needs of people who come because of your giving, because you've been faithful in your giving. And I would ask you to continue to be faithful. God's work continues to go on. And God knows this is a community where God's light continues to be able to shine. We need to continue to be able to shine the light of the kingdom in the midst of this community. And if God ever needed you in the midst of this community, God needs you. God needs you today. So we need to remain faithful in our giving. Yes, we have challenges going forward in the future, but they're not challenges that are insurmountable. Again, we know that if we are faithful, that God will be faithful to us. If we are faithful, God will supply our needs. Not only will God supply our needs, but if we are faithful, God will increase our harvest so that we can be even more faithful in our giving in the midst of this community. Because our giving is an extension of God's grace. It's the way that we reach out and bless other people, and those blessings continue to cascade. I was watching a commercial not long ago about people who were doing good deeds to others, and there was other people, a third party, that watched the good deed that was being given to someone else, and that person would go and he would continue to do a good deed, and that person's good deed would influence someone else, and they would do a good deed, and they would give, and that would influence someone else, and they would give. And so as we continue this ministry in this community, let's remember that we have been called to be a giving people. We've been called to reflect God's own giving character. God has given us everything. God so loved us that God gave his only begotten Son so that we might have life and have life abundantly. And we are called to go out in the midst of this community and to share that abundant life with our time and with our talents. And yes, with our money. So my friends, I would ask you to continue the good work that you have given, that you have been engaged in. Continue the good work of giving. Continue the good work of being faithful. Continue to be the cheerful giver that God has called all of us to be, because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us that we cannot outgive you, that you give constantly and bless us mightily, whether we realize it or not. The sunshine belongs to you, and the rain belongs to you, and we benefit from all of it. The crop belongs to you, and the wind belongs to you, and the rivers and the mountains, it all belong to you, and we benefit from all of it. Lord, you are the author of life, and you have given your Son so that we might have that life in abundance. Help us to respond to your grace by also going out and giving back a portion of what you have given to us. Help us to live as your giving people as we faithfully go out and proclaim the good news of your coming kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.